Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13, we continue our journey with Israel in the wilderness. Verse 8, then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some men for us and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the sword. Would you pray with me? Father God, now in these moments I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this place would be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. As we turn to your word, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be who it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do what it is that you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody out there slow to ask for help? Anybody? A few of you are being honest. There's no judgment up here. I see you, Charlie. Me too. I get it. I'm one of those kind of figure it out, just look confident until you get through the situation if you have no idea what's going on kind of people. I'd rather Google it than ask a human being the question. Several years ago, I was at my sister's house in Houston for Christmas. They lived in this community there that was surrounded by tall pine trees everywhere. There are some trees in Texas. And there were these sidewalk trails that went on for miles and miles with trees on both sides winding in and out of the neighborhoods. I was just beginning to train for my very first ever half marathon that Christmas. And the farthest I'd run in my entire life was maybe 4 miles max. So I took off that morning to just sneak in a really short, simple run before Christmas breakfast. And about a half hour into the run, I realized I was in big trouble. I had no idea where I was. Turns out every tree looks the same. Every subdivision in her town just alike. I didn't have a phone on me. I don't like appearing confused or lost, so what was I to do? But just keep running, like Forrest Gump. I would make it to an intersection, and I would just randomly pick a way, and I'd keep running. I allowed 20-plus cars to pass me that morning, never waved a single one down to ask for help. I passed hundreds, literally, of homes, all completely filled with people enjoying their Christmas festivities. I'd hate to bother them, so I didn't. After 2 hours, I began to get worried that my family might be looking for me. They might be panicking. When I finally did find my sister's house, they were all pulling out in 3 separate cars about to start their search and rescue efforts. They were literally, they said, seconds away from calling 911 and filing a missing persons report. I went back and tried to figure out what I had done. Turns out that I clocked 14 miles of straight running that morning, and I paid for it for a week after. And I led my entire family into this Christmas frenzy, all because I didn't want to ask for help. We've been following the people in Israel on their first days in the wilderness the last few weeks, learning with them what it means to be the people of God in this world. And today, a word on getting some help from Moses and Aaron and Hur. It's Israel's first sign of opposition this side of the Red Sea. God led them into freedom, but he didn't free them from their problems. Interesting how those don't necessarily coincide, right? Before they know it, there's an enemy before them, Amalek and his army. Moses summons Joshua to gather his men and to go out to fight. He says he'll stand on the mountain with the staff of God in his hand. This staff, if you remember, it's already been used by God through Moses to initiate the parting of the sea. And we didn't look at this story, but also to initiate water flowing from the rock in the wilderness where there was no water to drink. And so Moses, for good reason, is confident that God is going to work wonders through him and his staff once again. Joshua, Moses, Aaron, Hur, they all take their places. And when Moses lifts his staff up in the air, Israel prevails. When he lays the staff down, Amalek prevails. I wonder how many times it took Moses letting the staff down to shake out his arms a little bit or grab a sip of water before he realized what was happening. And I wonder how long it took him, once he realized what was happening, to ask for help. I mean, he didn't need Aaron and Hur at the Red Sea. Just him and his staff and his God, that was more than enough. And he didn't need anyone when he struck that rock in the wilderness and saw the water come out. Moses was getting kind of used to this one-man show, I can imagine. With that staff and that God by his side, there was nothing Moses couldn't do. Well, besides keep his arms up in the air, just that. And each time he let them down, lives were lost in an instant. It's a serious stuff. Soon enough, the community took note of what was happening. That's just three of them. And they got to work. Aaron and Hur, they moved a stone into place for Moses to sit on. And they stood on each side of him and held up his arms. And with their help, it says, Moses' arms were steady until sundown. And at sundown, Joshua defeated Amalek. Alone, Joshua and his men were absolutely toast. Alone, Moses was absolutely unable to fulfill his task. But together, every single one active, every single one recognizing their unique role and stepping into it, not a one in the story just spectating, together, God's people were victorious. God showed them on that day that he created his people to overcome enemies bigger than themselves and to celebrate victories unimaginable when they do it together. Now, we know that God has created us to work together. We know that he has made us to live into his dreams, not alone, but by helping each other. Some of you, even now, I bet, are making your plan for your escape to the foyer, thinking, not one of those community sermons again. There's been a lot of those in 2 years, right? And I'm aware, I'm not just out of material. It matters. If we know it, that God made us to do this together, then why do we still struggle to live out what we know? Why are we still reluctant to let ourselves be known and be helped in this place? Why do we still hesitate to jump fully into this community to engage God's special mission for us together, even right here and even right now? If we know we were meant to help each other, to do God's work together, what keeps us from helping each other? From doing God's work together. Several things, I think. Some of you, I've heard you, would say to me that you just hesitate to ask others for help because you've got trust issues. I hear it all the time, and a lot of you for very good reasons. You've been hurt by people. And to be honest, it's just a lot easier to go at life alone than to invite people into your journey who might derail you once again. And so you live with this mentality that says, if there's something I want to do for God, I'll do it myself. And then I'll get annoyed that nobody helps me, but I never ask for help. So it's this cycle. I won't let others know what's going on in my heart or mind because they might end up using it against me. You know, I wonder with Moses when his arms started shaking on that day if he was just a little bit afraid to admit to Aaron and Hur, you know what, guys? I don't got this. I can't do it alone. I wonder if he feared, if he admitted that they might look at him a little differently. The guy who parted the Red Sea. Huh. Just ordinary like us. It doesn't matter because at some point Moses saw the risk of being alone. And he chose to let himself be vulnerable. And he invited these guys to come and to care for him and to join him in the good work. And truth is, at some point, to fully participate in God's mission, we're gonna have to do the same thing. You see, even Jesus, the God of the universe, who had a lot of power, all the power in the world plus some, he trusted some folks who had previously denied him to become the very ones to carry his mission forward. If anyone should have had trust issues, it was Jesus. And yet after a season of hurt, he didn't just wash his hands of humans and give up on them, citing, you know, they've hurt me one too many times, it's not worth the risk. But Jesus chose to live his life on earth, helping his disciples and asking for help, knowing good and well that things between him and them wouldn't always be smooth sailing. Because truth was 2,000 years ago, and truth is today, there were always going to be ups and downs with people. Always have been, always will be. We, as your church family, if we're honest, we don't always hold your story and your heart well. We might mess up. Maybe we already have. And maybe you're saying, if I do anything with those people, I'll do it on my own. I remember that time 10 years ago when this happened. It's not going to happen again. I wonder this morning, if you might take a risk on community and be vulnerable once again, if you might let us hold your arms up anyway, because in fact, that's the only way to love, and love is the only way to live. Saying, well, I have trust issues is a great way for the enemy to keep you stuck alone while the people of God are helping each other, engaging in God's big story, unfolding together. My friends, don't miss it for trust issues. There's bigger things to do. Some of us don't call out for help with God's work because if we're honest, we're just kind of surviving as it is. We don't need help with something that we're not even doing. The stress some of you carry each week, I know, is incredible. Just to keep your families at peace and your job intact and food on the table is mission enough. You've told me, and I hear that. And when life is like that, we tend to become so consumed with the circumstances right in front of us that we rarely look beyond ourselves to catch a glimpse of the bigger things that God is up to all around us. And you know, I found that the best way to become less obsessed with your own stress and less consumed by your own survival is to step out of yourself and serve someone else. Our friend Sue Klim, we all remember her well. When she had to quit work because her cancer was making it much too hard for her to walk, she came to me the week before she quit, and she said, Pastor, tell me some ways to serve. She said, I'm not about to sit at home and think about cancer all day. She said, there's people out there who need some hope. Tell me what I can do. I'm not stopping. And count me in. You see, it's a choice. We can focus on our own little worlds and worries and just survive and watch the days, the weeks, the months pass by. Or we can look beyond ourselves. We can lend a hand and we can serve. It's always the better choice, my friends. Our God wants us to live as victors. As people overcoming obstacles bigger than ourselves, engaging in mission farther reaching than we can know. How about you start by serving someone? And how about you do it with us together? And we'll see the kingdom come even to Belfair, helping each other. And some of us don't ask for help. Don't bring others into the kingdom work with us because if we're honest, we're kind of afraid of losing control. Maybe Moses on this day had a certain idea in mind of where he'd like that rock he was sitting on to be placed. Maybe he had a certain way that he wanted his arms to be held, at the elbows or at the wrist. There's a difference. But when he invited the others to be a part, he didn't get the total say. When he asked for their help, he gave them some space to do some things their way. And yes, how they did it would affect them. But together, they were moving towards God's way. in every church I've been in thus far in my life, I have had folks come to me in this hesitant kind of voice, new folks. And what they come to me asking is how can I live out this longing that God has put in my heart right here in this church without stepping on toes of those who are already serving? This is a real concern in the church, and it's a crazy one. Stepping on toes, serving together, it need not be a worry, because our ministries are not our ministries. They are gifts to us from God and for God. And so the more, the merrier, I say. A little more complicated when there's extra people to greet out there or to make some coffee? Sure, sometimes. But this is a picture of heaven coming to earth, of God's people figuring out how to get their hands dirty for Him together. And call me crazy, but I just tend to think that our God is way less concerned with efficiency than He is with how His people treat each other and how we humbly serve together. We were meant to overcome enemies bigger than ourselves together and to celebrate victories unimaginable together by losing a little control and humbly helping each other. Then, why we don't always respond when we actually hear someone asking us for help. The other side of the coin. For one, many of us, most of us, fear commitment, if we're honest. These are the ones of us who really like the maybe option on Facebook invites. I like to keep all the options open to see what's best at the end of the day. I mean, what if I sign up to teach kids in the fall and a month in I realize I don't really like being at the church at 9 in the morning? That becomes awkward. There's no good way out. We usually can get enough folks kind of mustered up to make a meal for someone just getting out of the hospital, and that's good, important ministry. It's amazing. But it's much more difficult to round up a team to commit to indefinite visits to the homebound. Because they might still be around for 10 more years. That's a lot of visits. Many are very, very willing to pray for youth at camp for a week, and that's awesome, and those prayers worked. But it's much more difficult to rally up a team to build relationships with these same kids Wednesday nights for endless weeks. Youth just keep coming. Some graduate, and some become sixth graders, and never ends. Commitment is hard, you guys. I get it. But big kingdom victories aren't going to happen without it. When Joshua and his men took their place on the battlefield, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur up top, none of them knew what they were signing up for that day. Sometimes battles are quick, sometimes they go on and on and on. Would they just say a quick prayer for Moses and run? Or would they have to stick around long enough for their own arms to start shaking with his? It didn't matter. When the battle started, they were committed to seeing it through. And when we decide to serve, so many of us, if we're honest, want to make sure that there's a clear checklist so we know when we're going to be done. And we want some kind of clear exit plan in place for when we really want out, that won't be uncomfortable, that won't be awkward. But the truth has always been the truth, and that is that we don't share real love in this place without real investment in this place. And we don't have real investment without real commitment. Without jumping into some things bigger than ourselves together and sticking around long enough to see them through. God's people are victorious when they are committed together. Finally, then, I think that we're sometimes slow to help one another engage God's work together because we either don't hear the cries for help in this place, or we assume they're not directed at us specifically. There's somebody else that could do it better. Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they were the only guys on the mountain that day. And so when Moses' arm started to give, there were only two guys there, one for each arm. Moses' pleas were clearly directed at them, and they knew in an instant if there was any chance of survival, they were going to have to be in. And so this morning, we sit on the mountaintop together, and I'm going to be just a little bit vulnerable with you. And it's not easy for me, because like I said at the beginning, I don't like asking for help. But church, hear me, please. As if you're the only one in the room with me, hear me as I say genuinely, help. Help. I've got this crazy hunch that God wants to do things bigger than any one of us here could ever do alone. And I am convinced we'll never scratch the surface of what He dreams for us if more people don't stand up and get in the game. And that's not a dismal, woe is us kind of thing. This is a battle cry to hope. This is good news. In today's story, notice there is not one spectator in the crowd. Not one. Not one person just liking Facebook statuses of a few more of Amalek's men down. Like, not one. Everyone had a role to play, and everyone played. Everyone was called to invest, to participate, and everyone invested, participated. And God's big victory wouldn't have happened any other way. My beloved church family, if I'm honest with you, this pastor's arms grow weary. Help! How, you ask? Don't get me started. Open up your heart to me, to us. Let us in on what you're passionate about, on what dreams keep you up at night, and I bet that fits into something God dreams for us to do together. Help. In a week, we're going to need folks to commit to teaching our children in Sunday school for a year. Whoa. Some of our leaders have been doing this same ministry for decades. Can you step in and hold some arms up? Join in the blessing of kids coming to know Jesus for the first time. This is big deal kind of stuff. Wednesday nights, I run with about 30 seconds in between from kids programming to youth programming. Last week, there was one other church member helping me in each of these places. One other one. We ministered to over 30 young people that night. We sure could use some help. Some arms are getting weary, and important kingdom work lies ahead, you guys. We don't want to miss it. There are classes to teach, things some of you could lead way better than I can. What about a small group, something on healthy marriages and parenting support? I could pull something together, I'm sure, but many of you could do it better than this single pastor who has only ever had to feed a dog. Help! Our facilities, the same handful of people clear things out, change light bulbs and filters, arrange chairs and rearrange chairs, paint and repair. Literally, those are arms growing weary. We could use some help using the space God has given us well. You love to worship? Love to sing? Ever seen how these kids over here love it too? The youth group on Wednesday nights for a year now, they have been begging for a worship band. I've got no skills with that, you guys. We could use some help. Could it be you? What about Beards Cove? My heart is still to bless the socks off of that community. And we had this great interest meeting a year ago, over 20 people around the table. But to be honest, a month or so in, the group that committed to dream together was down to two or three folks. Can you help us dream about what God wants to do there and how we can be a part of something bigger than ourselves? I could use some help. Because you see, our God is on the move just down the mountain. Who will hold up some arms and be fully in? Right now I've got 3 20-something-year-old men asking for discipleship. 3 guys trying to find their way in this world, and they're wanting Jesus to be in the center of it. Any of our men in here, a little further along in your journey with Jesus, that want to help these guys, it'll bless your heart. Last week after church, there were 5 teenage girls in my office saying, "Pastor, we really like Wednesday nights, but with the group that comes, we don't always get to go as deep in the Bible as we want to. Can you find time each week to meet with us and take us deeper?" Youth asking to know Jesus more. Anyone want to not miss out on that? Anyone want to help? We've got guests who are still finding their place here. Anyone want to help arrange dinner dates and extend some hospitality? We've got people recently out of the hospital, need visits, need meals. Anyone want to help? Sometimes when I think of all the opportunity and all the hours in the day, my heart starts to race and my arms start to tremble. It's good stuff, exciting stuff, and we could use some help. Currently, there are 75 VBS registration forms on my desk. Many of them belonging to kids whose families are totally unchurched. We need to find some way to follow up and to reach out. Some of you are in this room today because your child came to BCC through VBS. Are there more of those people in that stack waiting for us to move towards them? I could use some help seeing what God wants to do. In a couple of weeks, teachers go back to school. Could BCC be on the front lines of blessing them? I could use some help dreaming it into being. And we haven't even begun to think about what God might want to do with us internationally. Is there a missionary he wants us to partner with? Is there a place beyond our zip code that God wants us to serve? Is there a mission field out there that he is dreaming of us impacting? I could use some help following God's heart in this. There are meals to be delivered, lonely folks to visit, lost folks to love, hungry folks to feed, young folks to mentor, relationships to invest in. My friends, my church, as vulnerably and as lovingly and as honestly as I know how, I'm looking at you this morning with shaky arms, and I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for everyone, to step up and play your part. You see, sometimes we don't jump in and lend a hand because we don't really know there's a need, or we don't think that that call for help applies to us. My friends, hear me today. There's a need. And it's a good one. It's exciting stuff. And the call most certainly applies to you. We were created to do this together. Everyone to play a part. Everyone. It turns out that faith is not a spectator sport. Church is not a spiritual fill-up station and make me feel good 1 week at a time. Faith, church, is a full contact, full participation kind of place. Because we were created to overcome enemies bigger than ourselves together and to celebrate victories unimaginable together by helping each other. And here's the truth. Without you, we seriously may never get there. Seriously. But with you, with us, all in, oh boy, that's when things get real. Real fun. Hear me, my friends, this morning. I don't share the depths of my heart all that often up here in a vulnerable sort of way. Hear me when I say, please help. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you are our help. And we thank you that you know us right where we are and all the things in our lives that hold us back. And even still, you call us into freedom, into service, and into mission. You know all of our regrets, all of our failures, and even still, you look at us and say, you are worthy of being a part of something bigger than yourself. Lord, this morning, would you help us hear your call? And would you help us get in this together, not out of some place of anxiety or guilt, not that at all, but out of this great sense of joy and excitement that we get to be a part of what you're doing in this world, and we're not going to miss it for anything. God, stir that passion in our hearts. I pray that we would be overwhelmed in the weeks to come of folks sharing dreams and visions and hopes for our church together as we reach this world with your love. Lord, we are yours. This church is yours. Continue to share your dreams with us and let them come to be through us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.